Good morning. These days we greet people by saying hi, and right after saying hi, we ask, so are you vaccinated? Seems like a lot of people are vaccinated. Even now the kids are going to be vaccinated. One of our church teenagers said he was vaccinated and he was like scared that he was going to get sick, but you know, just, and I hope that those of you who are well vaccinated and okay, to come out and worship together, because it's a different experience to worship at home and to come here inside the church and worship together. So we invite you if you're vaccinated. Most of us here were called by God, and we accepted his calling to become his children, and we became Christians. Not only once, but God keeps on calling our name throughout our lives. He calls us for many reasons. And a lot of times his calling is for us to be on a task, be on a mission that he puts us in charge of. And when he calls, we need to respond with a yes. But a lot of times we have excuses why we don't want to respond to his call. All of us have cell phones, and in the cell phone, if you have input a person's information, it shows you who is calling you. If it's a number that you don't recognize, most times we don't answer. And these days, somehow the phone recognizes and says it's a spam call. But even if it's a person you know, sometimes you don't want to answer the call because you're busy. Sometimes you don't want to talk to that person. Sometimes you feel burdened that the person is going to kind of say things that you don't like. And that's how we answer to the calling of God, that we say that we're too busy. I put on the silent mode and I wasn't able to recognize it was your call. But, you know, God keeps on calling us, and we better respond to the call either with a yes or no, because depending on how we answer the call, it is going to bring a great change in the way that we live our lives. Why does God call his people? Why does God call me? Why now? And a lot of times when we hear the message on calling, we think of, okay, God is calling me to be a missionary, to be a pastor, and I'm not ready for that. No. As we're talking about going beyond the church walls, gaining by losing, we are talking about us becoming an influence in the world, and all of us been given the responsibility of being a priest of God. When you think of priest, you look at me and say, you're the priest, I'm not. No, you're wrong in that. In today's passage, it is clear that God is calling each one of us that you are of royal priesthood. Priests, their role in the Old Testament was to become a mediator between people and God. They were to be a bridge maker between people and God in order to bring the offerings to God on their behalf. But as Jesus died on the cross, something amazing happened. The curtain that was covering the altar, it was torn from top to the bottom, opening the communication line with God directly. We don't no longer have to go through a priest to talk to God. In fact, that's why you are able to pray on your own in the name of Jesus. Through Jesus, we go to God. And the God who has called each one of us is calling us every day, every moment. It's just that we don't recognize that it's his call. He calls us through the word, through the prayer, through the praise, and through the service such as this one, that God is speaking to us and calling our name. When a mother gets a dinner ready and mother calls the family to come and eat dinner, and the first call is a very nice call. Dinner's ready. When you come immediately, you're loved by mom. But mom knows that food is getting cold. That dinner is ready is not responded by the family member, then a little stronger tone comes out. Come out and eat. And then if no one answers to that call, says, come. And then after that, I don't know what comes out, you know, then anger and burst of, you know, choice words come out to the family members to come. That's how it is. God calls us nicely. Tenderly. Don't we sing the song, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Remember that song? You know, tenderly, softly and tenderly, Jesus calls. You better respond when he calls first time, because if you don't, if you ignore his call, then something, he might do something to get your attention. Today's passage, was written by Apostle Peter to the Christians who were scattered all around Asia Minor. They're called the diaspora, scattered people. And as he's writing to them, the time was not very good time. It was a turbulent time to be a Christian. If you claim to be a Christian, there was a lot of persecution going on. So it was easier for people to hide their identity, to hide that they were Christians in order to survive. But he is writing to the Christians and saying, you know, that you cannot exert power by hiding your identity as a child of God. You have to be bold and live according to the word. And according to Romans 1:16 says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews and for the Gentiles. You see, when we are not ashamed of the gospel, when we're not ashamed of living as a Christian, God is saying you will have life with power, with power. Why are we so powerless in the world when God promises his power? Because we are ashamed of the gospel. We are ashamed to admit that we're Christians. It seems like we have a whole bunch of secret service agents of God. Nobody knows our identity until we get together here on Sunday. And we recognize, oh, you are a believer. Oh, I didn't know you're a Christian. And that seems to be the kind of a trend of these days. Nobody knows who's a Christian in the world. Well, one way to recognize is, you know, some people put the fish sign on the car. Well, that must be a Christian. But a lot of times, people put it as a decoration. Some people wear cross, not because they're Christians and they believe in the cross, but that's a cool kind of accessory to wear as an earring or as a necklace or even as a ring. Why is God calling me? Why God continues to call me? Because the world is getting darker. The world is getting really difficult. The world is getting corrupt. And more than ever, there's a need for light and salt. And God wants to send his children into the world to make a difference in order to be an influence. You see, before we knew Christ, today passage says this, that you were once in darkness, but no longer. God brought us out of darkness into the light. And now as people who were brought out of darkness, God is sending us into the darkness in order to bring people out. You see, Jesus came from heaven to earth in order to bring us out of darkness. And he did. And we're here. And now Jesus is sending us into the world to do the job of Jesus, what he has done to us. As he has brought us out of darkness, we are to do the same with the people. You see, when we were in darkness, we didn't, you know, we lived according to how I thought it was a right life. You know, my interest, my sight, my focus, my philosophy, my thinking, my mind was all. That's what mattered. And we live according to that philosophy. But as we became Christians, now we have a new focus. We have a new philosophy. We have to have a new mind. And we have a difficult time recognizing which one's which because we live in the world as a Christian. So we have a tendency to draw the line. Okay, this is the line of God. This side on my right is God. On my left is the world. And the world belongs to Satan. And this side belongs to God. So, you know, depending on where I am, we tend to kind of play double role. We play double spy. When we're in the world, we live like the worldly people. When we live in the God side, we are saints. And we are pretty good at it, and we become accustomed to that kind of life. And after a while, it just becomes normal. And that's not the kind of life that God is calling us to live. You see, Paul, before he became Christian, he had a lot to show for. In education, in his citizenship, in his religious status, social status, all these things to show up for. But after he became Christian, looking back to what kind of life he lived before he knew Christ, when he was living in the world, you know what he calls? He calls them rubbish. Rubbish. Rubbish is garbage that goes down the toilet. How many of us are like, you know, you had a nice lobster meal for dinner, in the morning you go to the bathroom, and then you do your business, and then you look at it, oh, my lobster, I got to flush it down the toilet. How many of you do that? You know, you don't think twice before you flush it down the toilet because, you know, that's not nothing. It used to mean something at dinner time, but now it's nothing. Likewise, as we have been given a new life. We are called to live that life only. And that is the only way we can make an influence in the world. Why does he call us royal priesthood? He is not only referring to the priest, to the pastors and missionaries. He is saying here, but you are chosen people. When he calls you are chosen people, that chosen people that he's referring to is all of the Christians who are scattered. All the scattered Christians he's referring to, not only to the leaders of a church, to all Christians. He is saying, you are chosen people, a royal priesthood. I am a priest. I'm a pastor. Not only on Sunday, but every day as well. You know, when I go out to Urimart or Fort Lee or Pell Park, I meet church people. You know what they call me? They don't call me Jim Bob. They call me Pastor. They call me Pastor. They remind me I'm a pastor. So every time, you know, someone behind me calls me pastor, my heart jumps. Oh, did I do something bad? You know, one time I went to a theater. It wasn't a bad movie. No, it was after everything was done at church, you know, my office hours were over, and on my way back home, I went to the theater, and, you know, I watched the movie by myself, and I was coming out, and behind me, someone says, Pastor Jim Bob. I nearly fainted. Someone recognized me and calling my name. I should have worn a wig or something. But, you know, I know because, you know, I feel like, oh, you know, what are they going to think, pastor coming to theater alone. You know, my wife used to say that she thought only the mentally ill people went to theater alone. And her husband is one of them. You know, when people call me pastor, you know, I realize that my attire, my action, my talk has to be appropriate. God is sending us as a royal priest into the world. Not only here on Sunday, you're the chosen people and the royal priesthood, but as you go into the world, you carry the same responsibility and your identity is with Christ. And you are his bridge maker. You are his mediator for the people who do not know Christ, for you to connect them to God. That's what we are called to do. So we go into the world as a royal priesthood. Once you begin to hide your identity, you have nothing to do with God. Once you lose that identity of being royal priest, then you lose what your role is in the world. You're just as good as people who do not know God. As royal priest, you know, the priests are called to live certain kind of life. It's kind of interesting, you know, just me being a pastor. A lot of church members, it's okay for you to do it, but when you see me doing it, you think it's weird. Like, it's okay for you to go to Las Vegas, but if you find me in Las Vegas, you say, oh, pastor, oh. They get surprised. And you know, just I'm talk of town. Might lose even position because I just hung around in Las Vegas. You know, you guys go to really nice restaurants, but then you see me going to a nice restaurant, and say, when we were paying him too much. Just, something of that sort, you know. Priests are called to live a certain kind of life. And the Bible calls the priests are to live a life of holiness. In fact, all of chosen people, all of God's children, we are called to live a holy life because we were created in the image of God in the Garden of Eden, and sin entered and broke that holiness, broke that image. And we are in the process of restoring the image that was lost in the Garden of Eden. And that's in a fancy theological term called sanctification. We're being sanctified again. We're making ourselves a little bit more and more holier and holier every day. That's what we're called to do. So we are called to live a holy life. That's why the Bible calls you are a holy nation. Holy nation people live holy life. Even God said it. You be holy because I am holy. You're my children, and children ought to resemble the Father. So I am holy, you become holy as well. We have a manual how to live a holy life. It's right here, called the Bible. You live according to the word, and you'll be okay. You don't live according to what you think is right, what you think, what you believe it's a correct way of living. No, we go according to what God says. And that is a way to restore the broken and crooked image that we have lost in the Garden of Eden because of sinfulness. And we can become more and more like Christ. You know, if you feel like, you know, oh, I'm good enough, I'm holy enough, then the seed of pride has set in your life. We become like Christ, little bit every day in every way. You know, I love the children's song that I used to teach to my Sunday school kids when I was a chondosa, you know, doing the Sunday school children pastor. He's changing me. Changing me, my precious Jesus. I'm not the same person that I used to be. It's a slow going, but it's a going. Someday, perfect I will be. It's a slow change. It's a slow process, but someday I'm going to be holy. And then what comes after that, you know, it's just, you know, brings kind of goosebump. Little by little bit every day. Little by little bit every day, every way. My Jesus is changing me. It's not overnight. Oh, one day I'm secular. Next day, oh, I'm holy. I even have a halo on my head. That's not it. It's little by little bit every day and little by little bit every way. My Jesus is changing me. It's a slow going, but there's a knowing. But someday, perfect I will be. Until I stand before God, I need to strive to be holy because we are people of holy nation. And as royal priesthood and a holy nation, we live our lives. As some translation says, we are to be strangers and aliens. Here in NIV says, dear friends, I urge you, verse 11 says this, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desire. It says, foreigners and exiles, aliens and strangers, kind of what it's trying to convey the message is that we are not permanent resident of this world. We're just passing through this world. We're not going to be here forever, but we live our life as if we're going to live here forever, don't we? We are just naturally hoarders. Some people are worse than the other, but we love to gather stuff. And we love to gather. And when there's no more room to gather, we have a sale called garage sale, yard sale, to make room so that I can bring in more stuff and newer stuff. That's who we are. But God is saying, no, no, you don't live that kind of life. You are just passing through to travel light. You don't have to have all these things in your life. So learn to give. Learn to be generous. You know, that's what the kind of life. Travel light. That's what he's telling us to do. I did my first Korean ministry in Dallas, Texas. And every year we had a trip for the senior citizen in order to make them happy. Because one of my mentor pastors said, you know, if you don't want to get kicked out of church, you be nice to the elderly people and you won't be kicked out. Because their children are going to church, so they won't kick you out if the parents say don't kick them out. So, you know, I'll try to serve them really well. So every year we had this 효도관광, kind of, you know, to be really good to the senior citizens. So 60 people signed up, and every year, that was a maximum we could take. And every year we went on a cruise to Mexico, left on Monday, came back Saturday for 1 week. And the first trip that we organized, and people signed up, people came, and they just came. It's a couple came. They brought, like, they look like they're moving away. They had this immigrant bag, you know, the huge ones with the zipper that you can make it big and make it small. You know, they had those kind of bags, and they were coming, and I said, you know, what do you got in there? And I said, my hair dryer. There's hair dryer on the cruise liner. You don't have to bring it. Because, oh, I need mine because, you know, I can't use other people's hair dryer. They bring all kinds of stuff. But this one male deacon, he was, you know, in his 70s, but he was strong and healthy. He came with nothing. He had no bags. And I asked, oh, 집사님, you know, deacon, where's your bag? I have it right here. And he hit his stomach. And he opened his jacket, and there was a fanny pack, a little fanny pack. And it didn't even look full. And I said, what's in there? I said, one underwear, toothpaste, and toothbrush. That's it. That's it. Aren't you going to change this? This will last 1 week. And then underwear, you know, if it gets dirty, you know, I can just, you know, just wash one while I wear the other one. And if that gets dirty, wash that one. And so he only had one underwear, toothbrush, and toothpaste. That's it. And I thought, that was the most, you know, maybe, you know, I think he's somehow, few screws are kind of loose. Maybe he, no, that was his way of living life, traveling light. Every time we had a gathering, he was the first one there because he didn't have, you know, this is all I got. That's all I got. You know, I just show up. When it was time to get off from the cruise liner, he was the first one off the ship. And everyone had to, like, you know, put their bags outside, and they take the bag, and they had to go and get the bag and all that. He was just waiting, just, you know, just singing songs and just, you know, having good old time, drinking coffee. And I realized, wow, that's what it means to travel light. You know, you can just be ready whenever, you know, there's a call. In order for us to live that kind of life, we need to learn to give away, be generous. Because we're not going to take whatever we have. We're going to all leave it here. Might as well be generous when we have it. There's an elder that I knew in Dallas. You know, he was quite wealthy, and he was doing Korean market, and you know, there was a project that we needed to do, and then he really wanted to kind of participate in it. And he said, Pastor, you know, I'm investing this on this business, you know, just wait a little bit. When I make big, you know, when I just hit jackpot, then I will just do the whole thing myself. And you know, instead of doing this, you know, he invested in the business and went bankrupt. And afterwards he said, I should have done that because when I had it. I think we don't want to live with regrets. And only way to do so, only way to live not regretting life is to being generous to people. Not because you feel guilty, not because God says you're going to be blessed if you give. Why do we need to be generous? Because we already received so much. He took us out of darkness into the light. We were no people, but now we are God's people. We had no mercy, but we have mercy. We have a new life to live. So because of gratitude in our hearts, we become generous. We share. We become good news to other people. God continues to call our names. Even now, God may be calling your name. Did you know in the Bible when God calls people for something important, something urgent, he calls name twice? Did you know that? When Abraham was about to sacrifice his son Isaac, he took up the knife to kill his son. You know what? You know what came from heaven? Abraham, Abraham! Twice. He called. When Jacob, there was a famine in the land, so he had to move his whole family to Egypt. And he wasn't kind of confident, you know, are we going to be okay over there? And it was kind of a big immigration. He was kind of scared. And God appears to him and he says, Jacob, Jacob, calls twice. Moses in the wilderness, in the thistle, you know, he hears the voice of God. You know what's the first two words that came out of a burning bush? Moses, Moses, that was it. Twice. When God called Samuel, 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 twice. Saul, this is name of Paul, before he became Paul, he was Saul. When he was going to, Damascus in order to persecute the Christians, you know, he meets Jesus, and his name is called Simon, Simon, twice. Martha, in the Bible, when she complains to Jesus about Mary not working in the kitchen and she's just doing all the work, Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Even Jesus on the cross, as he was crying out to God, Eloi, Eloi, calls twice to his father. When name is called twice, it shows an importance and urgency. And even today, God may be calling our name twice. Jimbab, Jimbab. He's not, you know, calling because of nothing. He's calling because of something. And the something is this, that God loves the world. God loves the world. We may criticize. We may really kind of, you know, point fingers. But God loves the world. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." God called upon Jesus, and he responded, and he obeyed, and he came here, died on the cross in order to make a difference in our lives. Now that same task is given to you and I. We are called, God calls, Jim Bob, go into the world and save the people from the darkness. Bring them out of darkness into the light. Bring them out of death into life. Gospel is good news of Jesus Christ. Good news. In the world, when you turn the TV on, turn CNN, all I hear is bad news. You know, here in the U.S., in the world, everywhere you turn, it's bad news. Plus, now it's compounded because of COVID. You know, there's collapse of economy. There's all this kind of violence going on, and what's going on in Myanmar. And here in the States, there's so much, violence because of gun. It's just unending bad news. More than ever, this world needs good news. And Jesus is calling us to be the good news, to be the gospel. You know what gospel stands for? Go, spell it out, what it means to be loved by God. That's why it's gospel. Gospel. That's a British accent. When you become the gospel itself, you will become the good news. And the world needs good news more than ever. Let's pray. Even now, as we're hearing the sermon, God may be knocking on your door, knocking on your heart, calling your name. He's not calling you to go to the end of the earth, to go to China, to go to Africa, to go to Siberia. No, he is telling us to go into the place where we are placed, workplace, in our home, and to really be an ambassador of Jesus Christ, to be the priest of Jesus Christ. And that's only possible when we are willing to show our identity as the one who belongs to God. So with that in mind, we respond to God's calling. God, here I am, send me. God, I pray for my people that we will not be contained here inside the salt shaker. But salt is good only if it leaves the salt shaker. As we leave here and go into the world, may we not hate the world, but really become the bridge maker, to become the mediator, to bring people who are struggling with the bad news into the light with the good news of Jesus Christ. May we become such ambassadors and such children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.